And just imagine tacking a third extra on top of that. Like, who wouldn't love that? I was kind of still a kid when I started doing this work. And so to have a revenue increase of 34%, man, I felt like it was unbelievable, right? It was unbelievable. And this was the thing. It was eliminating these five words.
What's up, my friend? I'm health expert Ted Rice, and I'm back with another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. Today, I'm coming to you from Bangkok, Thailand, where I've been for the past few weeks eating Thai food, training Thai kickboxing, interacting with the incredible people that I've been meeting here. And I'm going to be going to Cambodia, to Phnom Penh, the capital. And I'll be sharing more about that on my Real Talk Friday episodes. But today I want to talk about today's interview, which I'm super excited to share with you because our guest's name today is Mary Shores. Now, I want to ask you this. What if I told you there was a way to reduce stress, to improve your relationships with your family, your friends, your coworkers, a way to increase your sales if you happen to be in the sales profession, or just make everything around you go smoothly while reducing your stress at the same time, get people to like you more, and it has nothing to do with losing fat, with taking a supplement, with doing exercise? That's what we're going to be talking about today. Far too many of us, we go around in our lives and we wonder why we're not getting the type of connections with other people that we really long for. We don't get the type of respect from our kids, from our partners, from our coworkers, from our boss, or if you're running a business, from your employees. And today, you're gonna learn some secrets about how to do that, because that's what Mary Shores is here to share with you. Before we get into her episode, and let me tell you, this is a great one. You want to make sure that you listen to this because you're going to learn advice that is going to help you today. In fact, what you learn here, I want you to practice right after you listen to it. Before we get to the interview, I want to tell you that the Legendary Life Program 2020 has just opened. That's my coaching group, and it starts at the beginning of the year. And we already have 7 people already in it. So if you want to be a part of that, and actually, I'm doing this a week ahead of time, so there may be even more people in it by the time that this episode goes out, because I kind of batch produce these episodes, by the way. If you want in, legendarylifeprogram.com/apply is the way to get in. It's the way to apply and hop on a call to see if you're right for the program. If you're on the fence and you just started listening to this podcast, you have no idea what I'm talking about, well, don't apply. Go to legendarylifepodcast.com/free to watch my free masterclass. There's one for men and there's one for women because the approaches are different. That's the best place to start. All right, enough of that. Let's get into today's interview with Mary Shores. Mary Shores, thanks for coming on the show today.
My pleasure, Ted. I've been looking forward to talking to you for a while.
Yeah, me too. We had such a great conversation not too long ago, and finally we're sitting down together to record something. And you have such a fascinating story with what you do, but also how you arrived at what you do, where you're helping people with their communication skills. And something that I've said in the past is that poor communication skills, it's one of the hidden causes of stress in our lives that we just don't give enough appreciation to, we don't acknowledge. So it's going to be really exciting to dive into it today because I know this is your expertise.
Yeah, I'm totally excited. And I agree. I'm passionate about communications because I think it's got such a deep root into who we are, and even like from a self-programming perspective, but everything that we say is literally either serving to create a deeper connection in our life, like with the person that we're talking to, or it's driving a disconnection.
Yeah, that's such a great distinction. And when you think about that, like, is what I'm saying to someone right now, is it serving to create a deeper connection or to drive a disconnection? It's such a powerful shift in mindset to make people more aware of how they speak. So let's do this. Let's talk about, because you have a fascinating story about how you got into this. Can you talk about, you know, what it is that your business does and how you learned how to communicate better initially with your, in the context of your business, and then you branched out and now you're teaching everybody this stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the unusual twist and the thing that people don't expect is that I am actually the CEO and founder of a small or medium-sized debt collection company. And so what that means is that my trade is I collect money for a living. And, you know, it's just such an unusual space to come by the importance of communication. But what I noticed early on in my career is, number one, there is such a negative stigma towards collections. And there's reasons for that, because debt collectors have notoriously behaved badly as a strategy to collecting debt. In fact, like back in the day, as far back as I can remember, I'll say in the 80s, I mean, even though I was just a teenager, my parents owned a collection agency back in those times. And I remember, you know, they would talk about creating anxiety as a strategy to collect debt. So basically trying to cause fear in the other person in order to get them to pay up the money. And I realized that a lot of that is because, you know, many times collectors are all competing for the same dollars. You know, the person owes money to many different entities, and probably they're going to pay whoever they're the most afraid of. But times have changed, and I think people advocate for themselves much more than they used to, and that's a good thing. But I also found that there's a much more powerful way to collect debt, and that is to be totally empathetic and understanding that people that have a debt, it's actually a psychological burden, and there's a certain level of shame and unworthiness that people feel just by actually having a debt in the first place. And when I hit upon that, it really changed so many things for me in the realm of debt collections. But then, like you said, I started branching out and I started training on this in healthcare, because there's a lot of tense conversations that also go on in healthcare. And so just looking around in anywhere that you have a conversation, especially customer service type situations, you know, there's always like this tense, negative, like when you get off the phone with whomever you're talking to, shouldn't you feel better by the time you end that call? Like, shouldn't you feel happier by the end of the call than you did at the beginning?
I think that's ideal. It doesn't happen probably as much as we'd all like, but that is the ideal. That's what I personally strive for now, but it took me a long time to get here to that point.
Yeah. And it's so interesting, because once, you know, I figured out a structure to put around communication, and anytime that I find anytime you put a structure around communication, it really transforms it. It transforms not just the communication, but the feelings inside. And that's what the most important thing is. I believe it was Maya Angelou who first said, people don't remember what you said, they remember how you made them feel. And especially like the statistics I look at, and I don't have them printed out right in front of me, so I'm just going off the top of my head, but it's something like 75% of people will never do business again with a company after one bad customer service interaction. And all the other statistics trail along those same lines. So if we're looking at, you know, the fact that it's much cheaper to retain a customer or a client than it is to get new ones, you know, I feel like companies in general, they'll put all kinds of money towards their marketing, you know, and that's all meant to get someone to know, like, and trust you. So you could spend years doing that only to break it down by breaking trust in one communication where that person will never trust you again.
That is so important. And yeah, especially in the context of companies where, like you're saying, they're putting all this money like, hey, like us, know us, like us, trust us. And then someone gets on the call with a customer service representative after waiting like 20 minutes listening to that terrible music. And then, you know, you have this interaction, you're like, whoa, they don't care at all. And what type of training did they give these people? Or do they just not care about training them? And I'm not getting my problem resolved. And the only way, like you said, you'd stay and do business with a company like that is because you have no choice, like a bank or AT&T. All the banks seem to be kind of, you know, equally terrible in that way. Sorry if we have any bankers listening, but that's just kind of my experience and my father's experience. Mary, before we get into the way you structure communication to have people feel better after, right, having spoken to you, I just want to say about the debt collector thing. I think every single person on this, listening to this right now, myself included, I mean, when you say debt collector, it's like, oh, I had a situation in, I think it was, I guess my early 20s, where I got into a little bit of trouble after going through a very tragic, a personal tragedy. And, you know, just my life kind of fell apart financially in part. Financially was part of that. And the debt collectors were just merciless, you know? And while I remember fending them off and eventually paying it back, I remember like, this is just something that I was dealing with on top of all the other pain that I was going through. And like you said, it's a psychological burden. And I regularly talk to people who are either under that financial stress right now, they owe money, but they're not able to pay it back. I've been there personally. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that and to say also that, you know, how cool it is that you have changed the game and you're being a leader and showing, listen, creating more fear and anxiety in people who already have a lot of fear and anxiety, it may work sometimes, but even when it does, it comes at a cost, a human cost. And you're going to tell us, of course, how that's not even the best way to get the money back, right? Or to achieve whatever your end goal is with the type of communication you're using, the communication strategy or style that you're using. Can you talk about that a little bit? You found that you ended up making more money by trying or collecting more money by helping people or empathizing, as you said, instead of just like, all right, so when are you going to pay up? How much can you pay? Come on, don't you want to pay your debt? You know? Or whatever it is that they said. It's been a while, thankfully, that I talked to a debt collector.
Well, it's perfect. So everything you just described is perfect for me to explain it. So yeah, like totally true. My revenue the very first year alone with only one of the things that I'm going to share with you today is 34%. And I just want to say to the audience, like, seriously, this is not going to be a show about debt. If you have debt, you know, listen up. It might be of interest to you, but I'm going to talk to you today about the power of communication because that's really the important thing. I mean, yeah, it's interesting and it's cool. Okay, I was a debt collector, but like Ted was explaining, as soon as you hear those words, debt collector, you have this like visceral response in your body, right? Like you saw an evil clown or something. And that's what the start of this is understanding human communication. Is that we all have these basic human fears, which means that every person, it's global, every person universally has these fears. The number one fear we have is poverty. Okay. So like when I'll just say all the fears real quick. So it's poverty. So anytime something affects your money situation, you're going to feel a sense of fear around that, you know, and even if you are a wealthy person, I even see wealthy people still have that fear whenever something is going to interfere with their like financial flow. The other one is any kind of illness. So anytime we have something that affects our health, that is a basic innate fear in us. Okay. And so a lot of times our personal tragedies, they are associated with something that happened to our physical body, perhaps an accident, perhaps an illness. You know, we don't want to get those diagnoses because number one, when we get the diagnosis, that's scary, but that's like, activating both of those fears, because when you get the diagnosis, what's the first thing that pops into your mind after you worry if you're going to die is, how am I going to pay for this? You know, what's my insurance coverage going to be? It's like your mind just goes into this spiral of negativity and fear. So another fear is loss of love. And this doesn't really represent like someone passing away necessarily, but we all know if you're a mother or brother, you have someone in your life that you love very much. When you see that person suffer, it is worse than suffering yourself. So that is also a universal human condition. And then the last two are kind of obvious, like old age and death. So what I have found is that anytime we have one of those human fears triggered, we're going to have a reaction. And so like you had that visceral reaction, and I can see you even though the audience can't. So I saw what your body was doing when the words debt collector came out. But that sort of tenseness that you feel, if I said to the audience, like, hey, look, tomorrow morning, the first thing you have to do is call the cable company, I think we all would be like, do I have to? Because what's happening is we're remembering past experiences. And when we're remembering those past experiences, the same chemicals come flooding into our body as when it originally happened. And so this to me is like, I'm a neuro nerd, so this is fascinating stuff to me, that our body can actually recreate an environment from 25 years ago just by the power of a thought, right? So now whenever we're in this fight or flight response, we can't be in the area of our brain that's actually good at communicating, right? Like we can understand that basic physiology of fight or flight is not like the intelligent sector of your brain, because you don't need that when you're fighting. Okay. Yeah,
it doesn't help with survival. You need to run or whatever it is, right?
So oftentimes when we're communicating with another person, like with me, I mean, I have two teenage boys right now, and I can tell you that almost every one of those conversations is a triggered conversation. And I have to always remind myself, like, okay, they're triggered from not what's happening right this moment, but from something from the past. And that's okay, because what we need to do is we need to bring the person back up to a neutral, like I call it the frequency scale of emotions. And so when someone is at the bottom of that frequency scale of emotions, they're really in a fight or flight situation. And everything I say and do is either taking them further down that frequency scale of emotions, or it's traveling up. So the words that I say, because I don't necessarily have control over the situation, but the words I say is either going to have them lift them up or have them go down further. And so that's just like the basics that I want you to know, is just to understand that people are triggered often by these very common things. And sometimes it may not be obvious that something's going to affect, say, their money, but there's a unique tie in there, you know? So that's the first thing. Anything come up for you about that?
Yeah, I just want to reiterate the couple points that you made, where some people may not realize that it's well established that what you said, when you are traumatized before, whether it's losing a loved one or whether it's from like a debt collection situation, and you remember that stress you were under, but we store these in our body and our nervous system, and it comes back up, like you said. And I just wanted to bring that point back up so that people didn't just kind of like, oh, yeah, pass over it as you said it, because it's such an important point to understand why we react to things the way we react to them, you know. And mm-hmm. then there's genetics, which can influence your triggerability, right? And so many other things. But the main thing, right, is that those past experiences, and also what you said again about stress activating the part of your brain, or actually taking away from the part of your brain, the prefrontal cortex, and focusing more of the activity in that amygdala, that's the kind of situation where you're not going to be good at anything. In fact, just to draw an interesting parallel, because I know we might talk about relationships, Dr. John Gottman, who's like a brilliant person who's kind of figured out are you familiar with him, by the way, Mary?
Is that the Four Horsemen?
Yes, exactly. Yes, the Four Horsemen guy, right? What he said was that you need trust, you need commitment in a relationship, but also you need physiological calm. Because when you're calm physiologically, you're open to hearing the other person, you're understanding them. But if you don't have that physiological calm, you simply cannot create, you cannot have a good relationship. And he even, you know, broke down the number of positive interactions to negative interactions that you need to have a good relationship. And it all starts with what you're talking about today, communication, because if you don't have that, you know, you can't have any of this other stuff. So I just wanted to, you know, bring up those points as well, just for the listeners' benefits.
I don't know if it was Gottman that came up with this little hack or where, but I heard it somewhere that if you think of it like a bank account, you know, and debits in and debits out. So like every positive interaction would be, you know, like you're filling up the positive. I think that where I heard it was a love bank. So I don't know if Gottman coined that one or someone else, but it was that concept of every positive in your action you're having, it's like you're making a deposit. And then every negative interaction you're having is making a withdrawal. And so that's like perfectly what I'm talking about. And the way that I like to remember this whole body, you know, mind, body, psychosocial, biopsychosocial kind of thing is that our body is like a library. It literally remembers everything that happens to us, whether we're conscious of it or not. And that's a good thing because it serves us in so many ways, but it also can interfere with the way that we communicate in modern times. And I believe that's because we were conditioned to communicate a certain way. And especially in business, like sometimes we're conditioned to communicate in ways that avoid liability. But in avoiding liability, we don't take responsibility. And a lot of times we break our brand promise because we're more concerned about the liability than actually making a connection with this other person. And so I just think that those things are super, super important to understand. So honestly, the best way that I know about doing this is just, you know, I've already explained the first thing about understanding the human fears. And the next thing, and this is kind of like my aha moment, is there's these five words that I never say. And I call them the do not say list.
I like it.
And so everybody's always like, I know, I don't know why everyone's like, what? I want a copy of the do not say list. So like, what's the do not say list? So literally this is, remember I said there was, my revenue increased 34%. Now, like, let me just tell you something. I was 24 when I started my business. I was just a kid still, you know? So imagine however much money you made last year and just imagine tacking a third extra on top of that. Like, who wouldn't love that? I was kind of still a kid when I started doing this work. And so to have a revenue increase of 34%, man, I felt like it was unbelievable, right? It was unbelievable. And this was the thing. It was eliminating these five words. And the words are no, not, can't, won't, however, and unfortunately. And what I had found through just like the laboratory of the debt collection company is that every time one of those words were said, no matter how they were said, the person went right back and they're ready to be in a boxing ring.
So what were those again? I'm sorry. No, can't.
They're negative words. So they are no, won't. Not, can't, won't, however, and unfortunately.
Ah, yeah. Okay. However, interesting. That one sneaks underneath the radar a little bit. Yeah.
It's so fascinating because see, we have been conditioned to believe that the word unfortunately is kind of a sympathetic word. And in some situations it may be, but what I have found is in most situations that is never, there's like not good news coming after that word. And if you say however, then really, you know, you're about to get contradicted.
That's like saying with all due respect, and then you're like, that wasn't respectful at all what you said after that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so just by eliminating those words, that was like the first thing I did. And by the way, it wasn't like I just eliminated those words and the next day I knew how to replace them. It actually took a lot of time and effort and like thin slicing of situations to figure out what the workaround for every one of those things were going to be. And to be honest with you, the answer was as simple as, this is so simple, okay? Because the answer was, just tell people what you can do for them instead of telling people what you can't do for them. Yeah. And that's like, but you think about it, especially in business, how often do you ask for something and it's, no, I'm sorry, we can't do that. Our policy is, and it's just so frustrating when we hear those words, it immediately becomes frustrating. Okay. So like after I eliminated the words, then I started to build this process. So it was like the very first step is to always validate what the other person said. The number one thing that I have learned in the 15 years that I have been teaching this transformational communication strategy is that if you don't get any of this right, the one thing that you can do that will build a connection with the person you're talking to is when they say whatever they say to you. You know, you just say a few words of acknowledgement. You don't have to agree with them. You don't have to apologize for their situation. But what if you just said, you know, I can see why that would be concerning to you. I can see why you feel that way. Right. Or you could say, I understand what you're saying. You know, you just need to acknowledge them. Now, of course, I've got like tons and tons of phrases that people can use, and we don't need to know all the phrases, but it's just really about the act of validating whatever they just said. So if you've ever seen that video on YouTube where the girl has the nail in her head and the boyfriend is like, she's saying like, I have a headache and all my sweaters are snagged. And he's like, well, if you take the nail out of your head, you know, because the guy is trying to tell her what to do, right? And then the girl's just getting more and more frustrated because all she wanted to hear was like, oh, that must be hard.
Right. Wow.
Kind of funny. It's the video is called It's Not About the Nail. If anyone wants to see it, it's really hilarious. And I find men find it very eye-opening. Because they're always dealing with women that have the nail in the head.
I haven't seen that. I'm going to link it to the show notes and I'm going to watch it after we finish our conversation. Now I'm intrigued. So
yeah, the good news is it's only a 90-second video. Like you'll get the concept right away what I'm talking about.
Cool. Well, yeah, so many important things there. Sometimes I try to recap what they said. Is that a strategy that you recommend?
Yeah, you know, I was actually just attending a nonviolent communications workshop last week on vacation, because that's what I do on vacation. I take workshops. But yeah, it was really interesting because what I was calling validation, they were using the words recapping. And I think they were taking it a little bit of a step further because they would repeat what they said. So I think maybe the slight difference is if your recap involves a feeling or, you know, like an acknowledgement of a human emotion, that really, it's like extra brownie points. But just like, so think of it this way. We all, just like we all have a basic set of human fears, we also have a set of basic human needs. And one of our most important needs is the need to be heard. And we're not able to emotionally move on in a conversation. I'm sure, Ted, in your coaching career and in your life and with, you know, having, I believe you have a sister and a stepmother and, you know, you've got women in your life. I'm sure you've encountered a time when someone was stuck in their story and you really couldn't get them to like emotionally move forward in the conversation. And so the way you do that is you validate. So, because we have this need to be heard. And as soon as we check the box in our brain that says we've been heard, then we can let go of the story a little bit and we can move forward. We can be ready for the next step in the communication. And so whether we're doing that for through like a recapping, you know, okay, so what I'm understanding you say is X, Y, and Z. That's great. But if you can say, you know what, I can see that would be really hard. That's actually taking it to the level of empathy. And when you take it to the level of empathy, what's happening is in your brain, vasopressin is going off. And in my brain, vasopressin is going off. And vasopressin is the connection hormone. So just like we have oxytocin, you know, just like we have sort of lovey-dovey hormones that cause us to feel all good, we also have the stress hormones like adrenaline and cortisol. But there's these other hormones, and there's actually a bonding, there's some bonding ones. And so if you can say some empathetic words, you are actually, this is the best part about what I do, because it actually changes the people that I teach it to, and it changes the people they're going to talk to. And I've seen this transform lives, because when you get into a practice of it, it actually elevates certain really healthy chemicals in the body. And when you do that, you actually just naturally become a more empathetic person.
Yeah, this is so important. And I'll just follow up by saying, it's sometimes people get too focused on the technique or the strategy or the thing that they're supposed to say, instead of like, do I feel the difference happening by the strategy that I'm implementing? Do I feel it inside me? Do I see it in the body language of the other person? Because that's how you know if it's working. So I love this talk. It's about embodiment, right? And yeah. So I just wanted to say that I love this stuff that we're talking about right now. So important.
I love it too. It's my whole life's work, and I've seen it. I mean, like, I have staff that has been using this for years and years. And my office manager came to me like 2 years ago, and she said, "Mary, I just want you to know I've gotten off all of my prescription medication." So all of it. And I know, like, we talked about this, like, in great length as to why she felt like she was able to get off this medication. But it slowly begins to pivot every area of your life, because while you're communicating in a different way, you're also like somehow rewiring your own inner subconscious in a different way. And you talk about, like, we've all got traumas that we've been through, you know, even so maybe you didn't have a debt yourself, but like maybe you saw your grandmother take debt collection calls when you were a little kid and you saw your grandmother be terrified. That's still a traumatic experience. And so whether it's about debt or whether it's, you know, whatever it is, like, we all just have different things. Like, for me, it's very much abandonment in early childhood. And so I get very triggered at any kind of a loss of relationship, but I have to do things that are going to actively create the opposing chemical, like the chemical that I need in my body that's going to counteract that fear of abandonment. And I know that about myself. Okay, I'm getting way off track here.
So. No, I really love this, because even giving the situation, the example that you gave where your friend was able to get off medication, and I think so many of us will, even if we're up to the point where, okay, I'm exercising, I'm eating the right things, but for some reason I just don't feel that good in life. And far too often, and I've been through this myself, I was that person who is like, you know, 8% body fat, personal trainer in Miami Beach specifically, working with celebrities and millionaires. I should have been super happy, but my business wasn't going the way I wanted it to. My relationships with women weren't going the way I wanted them to, and even with my friends. And I learned eventually that it was because of communication. I didn't feel good partly because of the people who I was hanging out with, but also just handling the communication between myself and my clients, between me and my friends or the women I was interested in dating at the time. This is such a game changer. And just one more thing, and then we can dive into some more practical stuff. But we all look for ways to change our chemistry. We eat food, that'll do it. We'll take drugs, that'll do it too, very effectively. So does drinking alcohol, changes our brain chemistry. But what you're saying here, and what we promote on the show, is that you can also change your brain chemistry just by communicating better. And it's such a big aha that I hope people are getting right now, because it's like, I feel like I'm missing something in my life. I'm missing a feeling. So I'm going to go eat some cake. But the cake doesn't fix your life. It gives you some pleasure for a little while. You get drunk on some, you know, I like the Blue Label. I don't drink really at all anymore, but if someone's got some Blue Label, I'll throw some down. So I like scotch, in other words. So I'll drink some scotch. Or, you know, back when I was in my 20s, I smoked marijuana heavily, and it was all trying to get a feeling in my life, right? I'm trying to feel better specifically. But what you're saying is this is one of the things that can lower stress, that can create these chemicals like the vasopressin, the oxytocin, all the things you mentioned, and create that feeling that we're looking for. And not only create that feeling, but actually elevate our lives in the process, where eating too much makes you fat, gets you unhealthy, and you end up with one of the fears of that you mentioned with the illness, or doing the drugs, the same thing. So I think it's really, really important what you're talking about, game changing, really.
It's so true. Well, you know, a couple of things. One, I was recently getting really into, I'll probably butcher his name, but I want to say it's Thich Nhat Hanh,
the Buddhist monk. The Vietnamese Zen Buddhist monk. I don't know how to pronounce his name. So yeah.
I think I got it close enough. Thich Nhat Hanh. And he has a book called The Art of Communicating. And I haven't finished the whole book, but it's kind of like, I'm one of those people, I've got about 170 books open at once and read two sentences of each one a day. But anyway, I remember that in the very beginning of that book, he's talking about our greatest point of suffering right now is the lack of love and belonging. And that speaks to the lack of connection. And then just another point, like if we all have not been totally geeking out on Brené Brown by now, we just need to be, because Brené Brown is making these concepts like so acceptable. You know, so acceptable. In the 80s and 90s, we didn't talk about things like empathy, or, you know, that was like the dog eat dog world of business. And we all know that world, but the paradigm is changing, and it's gotten so disconnected that we actually need to train ourselves to be able to bring that connection back into the world. And so by doing something as simple as just saying to another person, like even if because you can tell in this little video, this guy does not want to give her empathy about this nail. He's so sick and tired of hearing about her nail in her head. He just wants to solve the problem. But every time he tries to do that, she just gets more mad at him. So, you know, that's kind of like the whole battle of the sexes right there. But the moment he says, like forcing himself to say it, well, that must be hard. Her whole body just softens. And then she like leans in to give him a hug, and she just loves him again. So that's
the
power that this has.
She ever get the nail out of the head though? I'm just kidding.
I don't know if there's a part two, but you know, like we have to be ready to take the nail out of our head, right? Maybe the nail serves some need that she has. I don't know, like what happened in her childhood and all that good stuff. But yeah, the power, like that's so important. And even though the do not say list is what increased my revenue 34%, the validation part is what has made my clients stick with me through thick and thin. Like my clients, I have such a solid relationship with them because they have beyond trust with me. Like they know who I am inside, outside, backwards and forwards. And because there's a chemical reaction happening in their brain when they're communicating with me, which bonds them to me. There's been studies done. Wendy Levison, there's a study done. It's actually mentioned in Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink. The study was Wendy Levison, and she thin sliced things. So just like what Gottman did, you know, when he watched the thin sliced videos of the married couples, she watched thin sliced 7-second snippets of video between doctors and their patients. And by watching 7 seconds, she could predict accurately which doctor would have a malpractice lawsuit filed and which doctors wouldn't. just by watching 7 seconds. And so that tells you right there that the lawsuit filed has nothing to do with the outcome of the situation. It has only to do with the bedside manner of how the doctor was communicating with the patient. It's fascinating stuff.
Because we can trust that person if they're like, seem like a good person, we can trust that maybe they made a mistake and forgive them. But if they never seem like they cared to begin with, it's like, let's call an attorney, you know?
Yes. And that was actually the next point I was going to make, that even when there was clear malpractice made, if there was a bond between the doctor and the patient would not sue. Now, we're living in very litigious times, and I actually happen to work in the most litigated industry in the country, and I have virtually no lawsuits. I actually have it verified by like underwriters in my industry that I have the lowest lawsuit rate in the industry, because I'm doing everything I can to treat people the way that I'm just describing, like on this show today.
Yeah, fantastic. Such a powerful conversation. Why don't we look, if you're listening right now, what you really need to do and you want to go deeper is you got to get Mary's book, Conscious Communications, your step-by-step guide to harnessing the power of your words to change your mind, your choices, and your life. And you got to dive into it, because you may get excited by a podcast like this, but it's really about immersing yourself deeply in some type of training, like going through a book, to really help you step up to the next level. So, do you offer courses or anything as well, Mary? I know you give a lot of talks.
I do. I do tons of talking, and I do tons of custom trainings. So what I like to do is work within corporations and help them transform their human resources departments sometimes. But where I really get the most excited working is in customer service. So I'm just always working with companies within healthcare and outside of healthcare. Any company that has a customer service department is totally gonna love what I'm doing.
Very cool. Let's dive into a couple more maybe practical things that someone could take and implement, or at least attempt to implement after listening to this podcast. Again, I really view these interviews as teasers, right? And so getting the book or doing a training is what you really need to do if you're serious about stepping up and handling this. But do you have some other things to share? The do not say list, validating someone's experience, and are there a couple more things that you could share?
Absolutely. So the validation is actually the first step in a 3-step process that is so very, very simple. Anybody could do it. Like, you could do it today after you listen to this show. You could go practice on somebody, like your kid or your neighbor or something. So validation is the first one. It is definitely the most important. The second step I call planting a seed of happiness. And planting a seed of happiness is just another couple of words that you use to bridge the conversation from the validation portion to the solution. Because if you remember, I said we can't really emotionally move forward until we've been heard. But then the next thing is, you want them to accept, like, the fact that you're going to tell them that you want the nail out of their head. So you might say some words like, I have some really great news for you. You know, I have some really great news for you, or I want to assure you, or I am so confident. So planting a seed of happiness is just planting a seed that a positive outcome is forthcoming, because negative words plant a seed of a negative outcome and positive words plant a seed of a positive outcome. So like I said, this is simple stuff. This is not hard to understand. We just don't do it. Like, we all know these things. We just don't practice them. So that second step is, like, I call it the bridge between the validation and the action statement. And so the action statement is something I've already said before, but it's just really highlighting with people what you can do instead of what you can't do. So, like, a very easy way to illustrate this is, like, let's say it's a car dealership in the maintenance department. And let's say you've got like a really expensive car and you feel like a VIP. So you call up the maintenance department and you say, I need to get my car in for an oil change. And they say, I'm sorry, Mr. Rice, we don't have any appointments until next Thursday. And you might like, I mean, it's not, doesn't make you angry. It just doesn't feel awesome, right? But I want you to have an awesome experience because you have a very expensive VIP car for me. So why don't I just say instead, oh, you know, I'm so glad you want to take care of your car. That's validation. Like, hey, it's so exciting that your car is important to you. The great news is we have an appointment on Thursday.
Right. Like, same just, situation, different framing.
Yeah. That's a very simplistic example, but like this happens all the time. So for example, like I mentioned, I was just on vacation upstate New York. Well, my son sprained his ankle and it's really bad. He's 6'4". He's on crutches. He's never had an injury before. And I call, like, it's stressful getting an injury when you're out from your home base. Like, it just is, because you don't know what to do and you don't really, who are you going to follow up with? So we decided to wait until we got home and I started calling around orthopedics and I called like my local clinic and I said, do you have any openings today? And she just goes, no. And like, I felt like I had to pull information out of her, right? Like she didn't say, oh, well, we have an opening tomorrow. She just kept saying no. And you know what I did? I just let her go. I just ended the call and I called a different clinic and I asked a different question. But like the interesting thing is if you're a business owner, how much business are you losing because the person who answers your phone just is trained to do a job, but isn't trained to communicate well?
So important. Or if you're the person who's dealing with people, right? And dealing with clients, because I'll tell you right now, Mary, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking about also how I've been communicating with my clients. I'm pretty good, but you've just given me a whole new standard to aspire towards. So I'm going to, or aspire to. So I'm going to be more aware of the language that I use with my clients after, you know, speaking with you. So if you're someone right now, if you're in a business, if you have a business, if you deal with clients and you're using this type of language where you're using the words that you shouldn't use and you're not validating what your clients are going through, you're not planting the seed of happiness, and you're not telling people, if you're not framing things appropriately and saying, oh, unfortunately, I can't see you until Thursday versus I've got great news. I've got a spot open on Thursday for you. These are the types of things that can be game changing. And one thing that you're highlighting that I think that we are losing connection with in the West, especially, is that, and this is more men, I think, are guilty of this, but plenty of women as well, is that we try to focus on objectivity. We try to focus on logic. We try to focus on reason, all great things. That's how we get to the moon. That's how we have the internet, all great things. But at our core, that is not really what makes us human. The older parts of us, the stronger parts of us are those feelings. And no matter what anyone says, unless you're a sociopath or psychopath, and even then they still apparently have, you know, feelings of anger or whatever, but unless you're a person who's just completely, you know, had a brain injury or something, you are more governed by your feelings than you'd like to admit or maybe realize. And so this is the type of thing, and we're all like this. And so really getting this handled at a high level, like what you're teaching, Mary, this can be a game changer for every area of your life. And that's why I'm so excited to, you know, be speaking with you today.
Thank you so much. I have enjoyed talking to you as well.
Yeah. Well, Mary, obviously the easiest sort of thing to do now would be for people to get your Conscious Communications book, which you can find on Amazon. Where else would you like people to connect with you?
I am a super fan right now of LinkedIn. So if anyone has a LinkedIn account and you look me up, I would be happy to connect with you. And of course, so that's the name Mary Shores, MarySHores on LinkedIn. And of course, you can find me across all social media on that same name. And my personal website is maryshores.com.
Very cool. Well, Mary, just totally blown away by our conversation today. I knew it was going to be good, but we really got into some things that aren't being talked about enough, especially on platforms that focus on health and fitness. Because what we like to focus on here at Legendary Life is what you might call deep health. Not just, how many calories am I eating? Am I eating superfoods? Which greens are the best? What supplements? What exercise? All that stuff is awesome. But you'll never get to where you want to be. You'll never have the experience of life that you want until you get some of these other issues handled. And so thank you so much for coming on today and bringing awareness and giving strategies that people can use. I'm just totally blown away by our conversation today. So thank you.
Thanks so much, Ted.
That wraps up another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. And I tell you that one of the most powerful things that you can do in your life to improve your life, outside of how hard you work out in the gym and eating the right foods and the right amounts, is learning good communication skills. As automation and artificial intelligence starts to take over our society, one of the few skills that will never, at least in our lifetime, go away is powerful communication skills. And every single person listening can apply what Mary shared with you today. And how cool was that interview? And we're going to have more interviews like that, because that's what Legendary Life is really about. It's not about the science of nutrition. That's important. The science of exercise, that's also important. But it's these things that reduce our stress, that make experience of life so much more effortless, so much more full of joy, so much more positively impactful on other people. So my challenge to you is to put into action what you learned today from her. That's my challenge to you. Do it. And before we wrap up here, I want to talk to you about my coaching program, one-on-one coaching and group coaching. So the Legendary Life Program 2020 has opened. And like I said at the beginning, I batch produce these episodes. I do 7 of these episodes or 5 of these episodes at a time. So even more people may have joined by the time this goes out. There are spaces and they're disappearing because people are seeing the results that I'm getting with people, that people are getting in the program. And if you want that, if you want to start the ground, if you want to hit the ground running in 2020, if you want to make a massive transformation instead of repeating the same year over and over, go to legendarylifeprogram.com/apply to apply to be part of the program. You don't just click a button and join, you need to apply. So again, that's legendarylifeprogram.com/apply. And if you're on the fence, maybe you're new, maybe you don't understand what I'm about in terms of health and fitness, go to legendarylifepodcast.com/free and watch my free masterclass first. There's one for men and one for women. That'll tell you all you need to know about whether you resonate with my approach or not. Hope you enjoyed this. Hope you have an amazing week, and speak to you soon.